It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people and organizations that make an impact around Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us this morning is Beth Myers. She's the CEO of Girls, Inc. Dallas. How you doing, Beth?
I'm doing very well, Chris. Thank you.
I am so glad you could join us this morning because a lot of people have heard of Girls, Inc. Dallas, but they don't know a lot about it. I've got a little bit of familiarity with you guys, and you're absolutely awesome. But I want to share with all of our listeners the story of Girls, Inc., Girls, Inc. of Dallas as well.
Right.
So tell us how Girls, Inc. first started.
Well, a lot of people don't know this, Chris, but actually Girls, Inc. as a movement got started quite some time ago, around 1864, actually, to help girls who were experiencing upheaval in the aftermath of the Civil War, and in fact have adapted over the years as issues for girls have adapted over time, and what we're addressing with girls and helping them navigate some of the barriers that they face growing up.
So this organization started right after the Civil War, and it was able to sustain itself all these years. And when did it get to Dallas-Fort Worth? When did it get to North Texas? 1960s?
Well, 1968, actually.
Okay.
Some civic-minded women decided that Dallas needed a Girls, Inc. program. At the time, we were actually called Girls Club. And so they started some of the first Girls Clubs here in 1968. And so we are over 50 years old here. We are an affiliate of a national network of affiliates. There's about 79 affiliates across the United States and a little presence in Canada. And so we're certainly not the oldest affiliate, but 50 years plus is a good momentum for us. Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's absolutely amazing and very impressive. Can you tell how the girls join Girls, Inc. or how Girls, Inc. reaches out to families so that they can help some of these girls?
Yeah, absolutely. So we serve girls ages 6 to 18 and do our curriculum that we focus our curriculum in three core areas. We'll talk about that in a minute. But that age group, 6 to 18, we work with girls in a few different ways. We offer daily after-school programming, and then we also offer summer camps for about 7 to 8 weeks every day, Monday through Friday, throughout the summer. We do that at a few of our locations in Dallas, and then we also work with girls through the schools. So depending on what is the best fit for somebody's daughter, they would determine whether or not they would come to our after-school program, or we might work with their girls through the schools that they're in, or they would come to our summer camp program.
So are all girls eligible to be working with Girls, Inc., or are you looking for a certain type of girl? Because I know that you work primarily with lower-income girls.
We do. I think, certainly our program could help any girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I often get requests from people from higher-income areas saying, oh, I'd love to have my girls, my daughter be a part of Girls, Inc. And we know that our programs are effective. But because the need is so great and resources for lower income neighborhoods and lower income families are often less opportunities for them than others, we really focus our efforts on lower income girls.
So you were saying there's three parts to this. Could you talk about those three things?
Yeah, thanks. The focus areas we concentrate on, Chris, are in the areas of healthy living, academic enrichment and support, and then life skills and leadership. So those are kind of the three core areas that make up our core programming, and that really is centered around, in fact, our mission, is to inspire all girls to be strong, smart, and bold. So the strong part is the healthy living. The smart is that academic enrichment and support. And then the bold is that life skills and leadership, really helping girls develop the confidence they need to grow into strong, smart, and bold young women.
You know, you guys are so on point with advice for girls and helping them through a lot of things, because a lot of people know that girls have different challenges that little boys don't have or young men don't face. They have challenges where, or I could even go into bullying. Sometimes girls have to deal with either peer pressure, bullying, social media pressures, things that a lot of parents don't even think about, or even people who don't have kids have no idea what girls who especially are middle school age or high school age are dealing with, things that, you know, us growing up never even thought about.
That's right. We certainly, growing up a girl myself, and I had all brothers. I had four older brothers. So they certainly did their part to make me strong, smart, and bold. But it's true, Chris. I mean, girls really have different issues they're dealing with. And we teach girls in those areas that I talked about, but we're really helping them navigate those, honestly, not only the gender issues and barriers that they face, but the economic and the social barriers they face as well. So we teach them. We try to help build at our locations, but anywhere we go where we establish kind of this pro-girl, all-girl environment, which is about even the messaging and the nonverbals that they see. We get pictures. We try to influence them, and we help build this sisterhood of support where they're learning not only how to navigate these gender issues, but how to uplift each other, how to be supportive to other girls and then young women as they grow and rise. And really, it's that sisterhood of support that really helps them not only not become part of bullying themselves and be bullies, but how to stand up for themselves, how to stand up for others when they see other girls being bullied or they're seeing harmful social media messages, what they can really do with that. So that is one of the really things for me that I hold so dear is, you know, as I said, growing up myself, I didn't have a sisterhood of support.
Right.
Really would have loved that. And so that's really special for me of what we do at Girls Inc.
So let's talk about the younger girls in particular, because I think what you're saying is you help them with their confidence and then you help them navigate, you know, life as they're learning these different things, and it gives them confidence. It lets them know that they're not alone. Can you talk about some of the little girls or the younger girls that, you know, you're able to reach out to and maybe some of the personality traits, and you say, wow, she seems to be really quiet, but she's pretty sharp, or she seems to be very talkative, but maybe that's a defense mechanism.
Right. Boy, I could go on and on, but I'll give you a couple of examples of some young girls that we worked with and the stories that I heard from their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And one mother who put her daughter into our program, she was about 9 years old and was quite shy. And she took a chance and put her daughter in our program, hoping that it would help her, establish, relationships with other girls and really help her. And she said she actually wrote us after just a couple of weeks in our summer camp program. She was amazed at how much her daughter was thriving and talking about other girls in the program. And she just saw her blossom and flourish in ways that she was hopeful but didn't quite expect based on the behavior that she had seen in her daughter for so many years. So that was really touching. And then actually just recently, Chris, we had a board meeting, and we like to incorporate what we call mission moments so that we really help our board members be more connected because they're doing so much work to try to help the organization, but they're doing it, you know, at a distance from the direct programming. So this parent spoke to our board and shared how she got her daughter involved in the program because her niece was in one of our programs. Her niece is a little bit older, and her daughter was 10 years old, struggling with low self-esteem. She had also been bullied during the school day for a period of time. And what she talked about, and in fact got emotional when she discussed it, was that, you know, she just knew she couldn't be there for her daughter in the ways that she was hoping Girls Inc. might be able to help her. And she described that really the safe space for her daughter to learn and grow, the relationships that her daughter had with the facilitators and with other girls helped her so much get through that experience. And then she was felt so fortunate that as she then ended up going through a divorce herself, that Girls Inc. was there having this established relationship with her daughter who could help her navigate, you know, really those emotional issues that go on as her parents were divorcing, and just exposed her to opportunities that she wouldn't have had otherwise. And so this progresses. So her daughter's been with us for a few years, and now, you know, she's talking about how it's so great that we're helping her as her daughter's now going through puberty. Mm-hmm. And how we can support her and help her navigate, you know, some of what for young women can be kind of scary changes for them as they're going through puberty. So, I mean, there's just countless stories like that, Chris. I'm so glad you brought that up because it's just, it really is so touching and impactful, the work that we do.
And that's what makes a lot of people get involved with Girls Inc., whether as a volunteer, working on the staff, is because you know you're able to affect and change lives. We're talking with Beth Myers. She's the CEO of Girls Inc. Dallas. And Beth, can you tell us a little bit more about maybe some of the middle school age girls and some of the challenges they face and maybe some of the ways that you guys have been able to help them out? I know there's self-esteem issues, but sometimes there are girls that just need to talk to other girls.
Yeah, there are. And as I said, you know, really helping girls understand the benefits of supporting other girls. Because let's face it, sometimes girls can be tough on each other.
Yeah, they can pit each. Yeah, they put each other against each other. Yeah.
Right. And so one of the beautiful things is helping them, you know, discover the power within how to develop some of these healthy relationships, even with each other, and holding each other up and celebrating each other and their successes, rather than tearing other girls down. But actually one story comes to mind for a little bit older young women. We had this young woman in our program. We do a specific program related to STEM focused. It's a 5-year, very intensive program for these girls. So they're part of a group of girls, a cohort of the same girls. They start when they're rising eighth graders, and we follow them and teach them, give them instruction until they're graduating seniors. And this young woman had, ever since she was 12 years old, actually wanted to be a mortician. I don't run into many young women.
Oh my goodness!
Aspiration, but she did. And she talked to us about it, and we helped her in this specific Eureka program, we call it, that's STEM-based. And over that period of time, she really flourished. One of the parts of that program is an internship, as well as helping them navigate applications to college and being prepared for college. And so she is one of our first graduates. She started as an internship at a funeral home. Then she continued to work part-time with them because they really were excited about what she was doing. She finished high school, and now, in fact, I was just informed that she's going to be graduating from mortuary science school this December. And so, you know, here's
amazing.
A young woman who comes to us with an aspiration that not many have, and we're really able to help her, put her on the path that's going to help her achieve her dreams and her goals.
You tell that story, I've got to tell you one back. This is the craziest thing, but back in the day, there was a famous basketball player that played for the Lakers. His name is James Worthy. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame, and he played with Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and he won all the championships in the 1980s. And I had a chance to talk to him one time, and I was talking to him about, well, what would you do if you didn't play basketball? And he was very serious. He said, I was very interested in working in a funeral home. I wanted to be a mortician.
Wow.
He said, I thought I could help grieving families, and I had no problem with, you know, being working around, you know, bodies and things like that. And he thought I was, and he was very sincere. He was not being funny. He said, "I think I have the demeanor that can do that." And just like you said,
yeah,
you'd be surprised out of the blue the careers that someone you'd least expect would want to do.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was a first. I'm not sure we'll have many more girls like that, but that was an interesting one for sure.
So are there any girls who, quote unquote, graduated from Girls Inc. to come back to work in the program? Volunteer?
Yeah. So we have a couple of different ways of girls have gotten involved. And that is, in fact, we have a young woman on our staff right now who's a program facilitator who was part of this Girls Inc. affiliate many years ago when she was young. We have several who come back and serve as mentors. And I'm thinking of one young woman I got connected with. She's a young attorney here in Dallas, and she too was part of the program. And what she does as a volunteer for us is she helps go out and speak to groups who are either potentially interested in getting involved or even equally importantly, interested in donating. And so hearing a story about, you know, a Girls Inc. girl who has attributed some of her success to the programming that she receives at Girls Inc. is really powerful messaging, because certainly, you know, donors have a lot of options of where they can put their charitable dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes feel limited in the charitable dollars that they have, but are compelled to give more when they hear about really impactful programs. So having some of these ambassadors is really helpful to us to get the message across about what can happen. And what's beautiful for me specifically is when, you know, I hear a Girls Inc. girl in a story, she's been successful. I remember that as I look in, you know, the girls' eyes today who are part of our programming. And it just really excites me and makes me even more passionate about what I'm doing, because I just think, gosh, what they can do and the stories they're going to be telling 10 years from now is going to be, you know, really special.
Oh, yes. And you know, you mentioned it that way because it's almost organic. It's like they know, they spread the word to their peers, maybe some of their family. Like you mentioned the story about the lady whose niece was in Girls Inc. And it's like you kind of know you've got support. It's like an excellent support system. Can you talk about how a lot of girls nowadays can use a support system, especially with the peer pressure? I call it the Instagram peer pressure, because, you know, social media is one thing that you have the peer pressure just walking into the schools and, you know, you feel like other girls or guys are judging you. And then you go online and people count followers, or they're looking at all the posed pictures and they're posing at the, you know, the nicest stores, or they're at the restaurant, or they're posing in front of a car. And that's not necessarily their life, but they're showing off a certain look. And I think sometimes that can make other girls feel like they either have to be competitive with that, or maybe they feel like they can't compete and they're not good enough. Can you talk about some of those situations that you guys work through nowadays?
Yeah, happy to. I think you're absolutely right about how difficult it is for girls. You know, every generation has what it feels are, you know, really unique challenges. But I'll tell you, as an older woman, I am glad I'm not having to grow up a girl and navigate social media.
I blame the Kardashians. So, I'm sorry. I just have to say it. I just have to say it. Everybody's posing nowadays. Everybody is a brand, and they're making sure they're an influencer, and it all started with that family.
Right, right. So we have a whole program around social media and navigating that in, you know, in positive and healthy ways. But I think a lot of it starts even, you know, just outside of that, of even, you know, in magazines, on TV, things that they're exposed to, is really understanding how to tap into the most beautiful parts of oneself and be the most, you know, genuine and authentic person and understanding that, people get their needs met in, different ways, but really thinking about not comparing oneself to each other, but what are those unique characteristics, talents, and gifts that each girl brings to the table, and how to help each other tap into those if they haven't, and help each other flourish and thrive. So I love that we're doing that. We do that work. We have actually, as I talked about, some of our programming in after school and summer camps and going into the schools, one of the ways we address this too, to try to expand our reach with girls, is that age group of 6th grade through 10th grade, what we do once a year, we started this 2 years ago, is a one-day conference for girls. What we found is there's like leadership kind of summits and conferences for, older girls, like seniors, but there's nothing for that younger teen girl. And so your question is making me think of this particular conference, because mm-hmm. we just launched this two years ago. It's called Power to the Girl. And we really focus on a number of different things, but one of that is that social media. And then also bullying and healthy sexuality. And it's just exciting to see these girls together in this really large group. We served about 400 girls in person with our first Power to the Girl conference. And to see them together in this way that was just only girls, that they're not exposed to, it was really interesting of how they bonded so quickly and did gravitate toward, you know, learning these pieces and how they might engage differently coming out of even just this one-day conference. Last year, unfortunately, because of COVID and we couldn't gather in that large a group, we tried to be really innovative and do it virtually. So the girls were actually in smaller groups at their schools, and we were live virtual conducting programming and exposing them to new tools that they could use in their daily lives that will help them navigate some of those really difficult, specifically gender issues and social media that they're facing today.
Now, you mentioned the pandemic, and we're still going through it. We're trying to get on the backside of it. But you were talking about how you had to make the pivot, so to speak, and reinvent the way you reach out and continue to help the girls with the Girls Inc. of Dallas. Can you talk about some of the things you've learned that you're still doing now, the new normal for you, and some of the things that you said, okay, wow, this is actually better, or this is what we have to do to adjust? Because you mentioned the virtual getting together, the Zoom. I'm assuming it's some Zoom things in there as well, portals and Zooms.
That's right, there are. Well, so I'm going to back up a little bit and say one of the reasons I'm so proud of our team for being able to, you know, make a transition so quickly and be there for our girls in ways that were unimaginable for us pre-pandemic. But some of the work that we did, and I connected with some of our board members, is that we were already thinking about how we could possibly scale our programming to serve so many more girls than we're serving today. And we knew that technology was really the opportunity that we could leverage to help get us there. We just didn't know exactly how we were going to do that. But that was on our radar, is this was really, there was so much power in technology that was going to help us scale our program. Mm-hmm. So we were poised and we were ready for that kind of change. But when the pandemic happened and everything shut down, we knew that this was going to be especially harmful for our girls who really need that social engagement. So with that in mind, we thought we need to act swiftly and figure out how we can access the tools we were, and then so many of them don't have access to resources. So we did a two-prong approach, one, learning the technology, and then also running a campaign to get Chromebooks out to our girls,
right,
so that they could connect with our instructors. But we also knew, Chris, we couldn't just put up some passive engagement. They needed to feel like they were still connected to us, or it was going to be even more emotionally harmful. And so that's where we did. We were one of the first to go live and virtual. So it was interactive. The girls were seeing each other. We were all learning Zoom at the same time before they ever got exposed to it in their schools. And it was really exciting to see. And quite honestly, they adapted to it even faster than my adult staff could.
I believe it.
We learned together. But I'm also proud to say that because of that, because we were so swift in our action to do this, that we actually were selected by AT&T and our national organization for a major grant to help pilot what we've learned, so that we could pilot it and learn more, so that then we could roll that out as a playbook to the network of affiliates across Girls Inc. to help them be more successful in that virtual engagement, because that's the key. The key for us, and something that makes us so successful, is that powerful connection between the girls with each other and with our trained facilitators. And so we have to have something equally engaging. Now, what we see for the future is, you know, that could be a supplement to other types of programming, because we know that you just can't make up for that level of emotional connection and engagement that people need in person.
Exactly.
We're all still suffering from that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, they kind of miss each other. And so when they have the chance to get together, yeah, there's nothing better than actual social engagement.
Right.
And you know what? With that being said, I know you've got some projects coming up this fall and this winter. Can you share some of the things that the people who support Girls Inc. Dallas can see what's coming up, and maybe anybody wants to get involved can look forward to maybe reaching out and seeing some of the things you got going on?
Yes. So one of the things we also did during the pandemic that was successful that we're going to continue on, you've heard about the crisis of academic loss that our youth are facing as a result of virtual school and all that we've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
So we launched virtual, what we call a homework help. We don't call it tutoring, because quite honestly, volunteers don't feel like they're capable of being tutors. But everybody, you know, can help with homework.
Yes.
So while there's not some of the academic rigor of a tutor, there is a relationship that's built also in helping with homework help. And so we're doing this virtually, and it's really worked. We launched three cohorts of homework helpers for our fall semester. And we, this fall, are also kicking off programs in seven of our school partners, which is really important for us, because during the pandemic, schools weren't able to allow us in to work with the girls. So homework help and volunteering through that is a great opportunity. Another really interesting thing that maybe not a lot of people realize is that actually Saturday is the International Day of the Girl Celebration.
Right.
Which is an annual movement to help lift up the voices and highlight the voices and rights of girls. And so at our Love Field campus, we'll be having a day camp focused around the International Day of the Girl. We also will be having Thanksgiving and winter break camps in November and December. And then excited about February, where we'll be having our Power to the Girl conference that I talked about. And then one other thing that we're doing is what we're calling these kind of mobile pop-ups. So rather than having, because we need a location for the girls to come and we build that all-girl, pro-girl environment, we're looking at ways of like Girls Inc. in a box.
I like that.
Where we can, you know, set it up and tear it down as needed in different locations.
So, it's like a pop-up restaurant.
Exactly. yes, and we did that most recently at Redbird Mall. Really excited and partnering with Peter Brodsky and Redbird Mall. And so we went into a store that wasn't leased, and were able to have a Girls Inc. camp in the Redbird Mall area, or in the area, but also specifically at Redbird Mall, for the summer, and it was a big success. Yeah,
you know, it's really so amazing. We literally had Peter Brodsky on the show about a month ago, and they are doing such wonderful things as they reimagine Redbird. Oh, I love it! I'm so glad you guys are able to do something out there.
Yeah, Yeah, it's really exciting for us.
Well, let me tell you something, Beth. It's been a pleasure visiting with you this morning, and we've got to do it again real soon. Is it okay if we check back in with you in the next few months?
I would love that, Chris. Thanks so much for highlighting Girls Inc. and giving me the opportunity to talk about the great work that we're doing.
Sure. And is there a website or an email where anybody who wanted to be involved, partner with, volunteer, or actually get their kids involved with Girls Inc. Dallas? Is there some information where they can reach you?
There is. So if you go to girlsincdallas.org, that's our website. Get all kinds of information there. We also have a presence on social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, email. And so if you just Google Girls Inc. Dallas, you'll find all of our social channels, but you can also find it on our website. And then an email is info@girlsincdallas.org. So those are a few of the ways you can reach out and get involved or become a donor. We need all the charitable donations we can get. So we'd love to have listeners get involved.
Thanks, Beth. That's Beth Meyer, CEO of Girls Inc. Dallas. And joining us right now is the executive director of All-Stars Dallas, Antoine Joyce, and the national director of All-Stars, Gabrielle Kurlander. How you doing, Gabrielle, and how you doing, Antoine?
Doing well.
We're good.
Thank you.
So glad you both could join us. And first of all, mad props to Antoine. Gabrielle, I don't know about if you understand all the great work he's doing here in Dallas, but it is significant, and after school has not been the same in the last few years.
I sure do. He's amazing.
Antoine,
I appreciate it.
I always enjoy talking to you and visiting with you because you've done such significant work down here. Can you tell all of our listeners who are not familiar with All-Stars and what you've been doing here in Dallas, and then we'll talk about the national thing as well as what you got coming up this fall?
Awesome.
Antoine?
Well, thank you. Yeah. You hear me? Good. So the All-Stars Project, we are a national nonprofit organization founded 40 years ago. And what we do is we create and run free outside of school programming for young people from poor and underserved communities. So each year nationally, we reach 10,000 young people, their families and adults from all walks of life. In Dallas, we reach about 2,000 young people directly. And we receive funding from our wonderful philanthropic partners, foundations and corporations like Hunt Consolidated, KPMG, the Arnold Companies, EY, Fidelity, Hilltop, Bank of Texas, of many others. And again, we do performance-based programming. So we help transform the lives of young people through bridge-building programs like programs we do with police officers and young people in communities. We do community talent shows. We have a leadership program where we introduce young people to the performance of the workforce. So how do you perform in a job using corporate America as the stage? So that's what we do. It's so much fun. And again, I've come here in Dallas in 2013 to lead our efforts directly here in Dallas. We in other cities like New York, Newark, Newark, New Jersey, Jersey City, Chicago, and the San Francisco Bay Area. And I'm here with our CEO, Gabrielle Kurlander, who actually gave me the job here in Dallas. So if you think my work is good, you gotta thank her.
Well, I'm going to thank her and remind everybody again.
His work is so good, Chris, that I actually moved to Dallas in January.
And
one of the wonderful things about it is I get to collaborate with Antoine even more.
Fantastic. Let me remind everybody here on Better Living about you guys' background again. Antoine Joyce, the vice president and city leader of the All-Stars Project here in Dallas, and you execute and create the cutting-edge youth development and bridge-building programs throughout the Dallas area and nationally. Now, as far as Gabrielle is concerned, actor, theater director, nonprofit entrepreneur, and the founding CEO of the All-Stars Project over the last 32 years, taking it from a New York City-based grassroots all-volunteer effort into a nonprofit organization and model for developing poor and underserved youth and bridge-building between diverse Americans. So I love what you guys have been doing. Again, I've had a chance to work with Antoine down here on a couple of occasions, and the kids are just so excited, especially since a lot of them, generally speaking, don't normally have a lot of after-school opportunities. Can you talk about, Gabrielle, how you came up with the idea. And again, a lot of kids are so into arts and music and theater, and they just didn't have any place to express themselves.
That's right. That's exactly it, Chris. I mean, in a way, I'd say they came up with the idea because young people in the community love to dance and rap and sing and express themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And we just saw that the schools, more and more arts programs were being cut. You know, young people just weren't having an opportunity to do that. And frankly, it's fun, you know, it's important, but it also turns out that that kind of expression, research has shown, it drives young people's development and growth, and then in turn, it allows them to become better learners. So we really invested then outside of school because we thought, hey, we can be a complement to what's going on in school, get kids in a better position to learn when they're in school because they're growing outside of school.
Can you talk about the newest program, which is called Operation Conversation? Antoine, you want to grab that one?
Sure. So Operation Conversation, as you said, is our newest bridge-building initiative that we've created to address a lot of the social and racial divides in our country. So in a two-part virtual workshop, we do it on Zoom, people from diverse communities of all walks of life learn and perform with new tools that they could develop empathy, appreciation, active listening, curiosity. This came about, we piloted this in 2020, during the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd. And many people said to us, you know, again, for the 40 years you've been doing the All-Stars, you've been bringing diverse groupings of people together. And right now the country is divided. That's what all the news said last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how do we talk to someone who doesn't have the same opinion as I do? I get frustrated, or I feel guilty about my status in life. I don't know how to have I don't know where to help. So last year, during a lot of the protests, I wrote an op-ed for the Dallas Morning News. In the op-ed, I talked about my life, about growing up in the All-Stars and meeting people like Gabrielle. So Gabrielle is a white woman. She's a Jewish woman. She grew up in New York, but she grew up upstate New York and traveled the world before I was even thinking about leaving New York, leaving Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
We have two different backgrounds, but together, we work together to bring all types of people together in different instances. And I learned that you can be different from somebody and have different opinions from somebody, but you can build with them. You can create new things with them. And that's been my motto all my life. So Gabrielle and I started talking about that relationship that we had. And we said, well, can we create a program where people can talk to each other and have those new conversations? And that's what Operation Conversation is. And we've now worked with just recently we did a major corporate engagement. So now we've did this workshop with more than 200 people across the country.
And Gabrielle, can you talk about some of the things that happen during these conversations? Because sometimes people find out they have more in common than they knew otherwise because everybody's in their own information bubble.
Oh, you know, that's so true, Chris. I mean, we've had a lot of people find out that they have more in common, even if though it might not look like it on the face of it. Like we had, I remember we had an Operation Conversation. We had an African-American man and a white man. They got into a conversation. Turned out like their mothers grew up in the same neighborhood in
wow.
Chicago, and they were even of different generations, Chris, but they were like, I want to talk to your mom so she can tell me about her experience there. And it was just real cool. You know, we've also found that people sometimes, they want to make a difference, but they're kind of stuck, you know, and they're not sure how to do it. We've had white folks tell us they feel guilty and they don't really know what to do, even though they know racism is wrong. And then we've had people from the black community say, you know, I don't really know what white people are thinking about. I've never heard white folks talk about George Floyd's murder. And so in these conversations, Antoine and I direct performed scenes and we're able to ask people to do the things talk about the things they want to talk about, you know, have some tough conversations about what are some of the hardest things that have happened in their lives. But as Antoine said about our tools, when you use appreciation, empathy, when you, you know, you slow down and take a little pause. It turns out that people can talk about some tough things together, but really connect and be intimate. And even as Antoine said, you know, have differences, have different opinions, but still have a, you know, good, strong conversation together. So Operation Conversation, you know, it's not about political correctness. It's really all about making those connections, creating those conversations using performance.
Exactly. There's no such thing as a dumb question. There's no such thing as the wrong question.
That's
or
right.
The wrong answer, because you're learning from each other as you go. Can you talk about, Antoine, can you talk about how this might help kids, or how many kids may be involved? Because it sounds like this is a conversation a lot for adults, but are there kids involved with this?
Yeah, so with Operation Conversation, we focused on some of our younger adults, so starting from 21.
Okay.
And then adults all the way up into their 90s.
Sure.
So, and partly, again, because that was part of our community that came to us and said they were having the most difficulty having these conversations. For our young people, for the younger population, we have been lucky enough to take all of our programs virtually in a very quick swoop. So to remind you, we have, again, a leadership program called Development School for Youth, where young people ages 16 to 21 learn to perform as professionals. And so we partner with business leaders who conduct workshops. And so we've still been able to lead those workshops virtually. And the great thing about it is that we was able to, if you will, break our Dallas borders and invite young people from other neighboring cities that normally would not have the opportunity to join us in learning those performances. As we know, the world is going virtual very fast, mm-hmm. and companies are thinking of new ways to attract new talent. So we're training our young people on, you know, how do you set yourself up on your Zoom, your camera lighting, right? You know, what's the new handshake virtually? And then after that, we've created another new program called Development Coaching for our young people who are 18 to 24. And this is an opportunity for them to work one-on-one with caring adults who can guide and enhance their personal and professional development. So unlike mentoring, it's not a one-way street. We feel that the coaches and the coachees have something to offer each other, our young people and our adults. And some of our young people, you know, during the pandemic realized, like, wow, I don't know how to navigate life in this way. They just needed somebody else in their life to care about their life. Some of them, they live in homes where many of the family members have lost some jobs. It's a two-bedroom apartment with seven people living in the apartment. And like, how do you navigate that?
Mm-hmm.
And one of our students, she made this statement to me. She's like, I called my coach up. It was like, I'm losing my mind. And my coach just said, take a walk outside. And she stood on the phone with me as I walked outside and took a walk around my neighborhood. She said it was the best thing that happened to me.
Wow. So, that's strong, because that's the truth. Sometimes people feel, you know, cabin fever. And in different parts of the country, different people are handling it different ways. In fact, some people are finding out through the pandemic either they have a very strong marriage and family, or they don't, because they're around each other. They're working from home. Am I wrong, Gabrielle?
No, that's really true. That is so true. You know, it's kind of it's fun to do things virtually, right? Because you mm-hmm. see what's going on in people, their cat, their dog, their child, their
exactly
all kinds of stuff. Yep, going on
people,
at home.
I think people find out there's some empathy with the Zooms, because everybody knows, well, this isn't perfect. This is on Zoom, and you know, you have the kids maybe crying in the background, or maybe the dog's barking at the front door. Or again, you might not have the perfect background. You know, your wall is not the same as somebody else's window view. But it's all something that people learn about each other. And they find that, okay,
yes,
my life is really somewhat similar to somebody else. There's the similarities are what brings people together, right? Gabrielle?
Absolutely. Yep. I think that's just such a good point, Chris, because sometimes we get so focused on the differences between us. And,
yeah,
we know we have different histories, cultures, backgrounds.
Sure.
Of course we do. But we get kind of focused on that, and you can forget that as human beings, there's just a lot of things that we have in common, you know? Like Antoine and I, we both love to perform. And so we just have this deep, rich connection because of both of our histories with performance,
mm-hmm.
you know? Even though if you looked at us, you'd say, well, these people are really different from each other. But there are a lot of ways we're similar, too, you know? And I think that we got to bring that out more, show people that these issues are more complex than us just being the same or being different. They're, you know, we need to kind of work with our differences, I guess, to bring out our similarities.
Yeah, you know what it's like, Gabrielle and Antoine? It's kind of like being on a sports team. The different people on the team are from different parts of the country or different parts of the city, or they've got a few things in common, but they didn't know it until they're working for a common cause. And the common cause is like what brings them all together, and then they find out, guess what? We believe in some of the same things, and so our differences are not as big as what our common things are. And then they find out, wow, I got a friend that's here, and I got a friend that's there, or our parents are similar, or whatever it is. And I like the way you guys do this with the All-Stars Project. Can you talk about, Antoine, during this pandemic, the things you've had to do in order to maintain relationships with the youth, the development and the poverty, and the fact that you were still able to get together with some of these kids, whether it was Zoom, whether it was in person, whether it was with masks, some of the projects that had to change up just a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so obviously, you know, I could tell you this. We're in person last year, March, right? Like the world was.
Mm-hmm.
And in a heartbeat, you had to figure out, okay, how do you teach young people what Zoom is? So now everybody knows what it is now, right?
Right. But everybody's doing that now.
Right. We were doing that last year. And still, what we learned very quickly was for many of our students, some of them had a lack of technology. So maybe there was one computer in a household, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we went to our supporters and we said, can we do a technology drive? And can we send young people laptops and ring lights and hotspots and things like of that sort? And so we organized a massive amount of technology around the country to get our young people the opportunity to still stay connected. Again, the different ways that we do our leadership classes now, you have to be more intentional with taking your mental breaks and breathing and meditating on every call, right? Because it's like you've been running all day and everybody is like going from class to class or work to work. Let's take a deep breath right now. Let's focus on where we are right now. You know, making very dynamic PowerPoint slides because we're not in person.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't show you the inside of a building, but I can show you through the lens of a photo and so forth. We've created some virtual Saturday classes where young people can take tours of different places around the world. I attended one class where I went on a tour of the Louvre in Paris.
Look out.
Or a tour of Route 66. So we're continuously looking at new ways to connect young people to the broader world through our philanthropic partners and giving our philanthropic partners new ways to volunteer and work with our students. Using technology. So again, with development coaching, we use an app called Cronus. And so with Cronus, young people can connect with their coaches instantaneously, you know, schedule their meetings and have those rigorous conversations without us interfering, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have to go through me to get to their person. They can just go straight to you, Chris.
You know, it's so wild. Kids are so creative, and we're talking about the technology. These kids can grasp technology quicker than you and I or their grandparents or some of their parents. In fact, I always tell kids when I speak to them, I said, you know, you guys, when your mom and dad or grandma want to go on Instagram and watch Versus, you are tech support. You realize you're tech support.
I won't tell you how long it took me to get my first Versus online. I was like, where is this thing?
Yes, it's an amazing thing. It's amazing how quickly technology is moving the world. And you're talking about how you've got All-Stars projects all over the country. And Gabrielle, as the national CEO, as the founder, I know you're proud of all the different groups. I don't want you to compare what Antoine's doing in Dallas, but can you talk about what you see, what he's doing here in Dallas, and how Dallas has reacted to what he's doing with All-Stars here? And you don't have to name the different cities individually, but can you compare what he's doing here and how much progress he's making here compared to some of the other cities, not necessarily in New York itself, since that's where it was founded.
Well, you know, Chris, it's such an interesting story because Antoine, I came down here about 10 years ago and met with some leaders in Dallas with Michael Sorrell and Dean David Chard, who was at SMU at the time, and Hunter and Stephanie Hunt, who are our business leaders here and philanthropists, brought me down. And, you know, we wanted to find out, did Dallas want more performance? Did the young people here need to be exposed to the kinds of things All Stars Project does, you know, performing outside of school so to help them grow and be successful and gain their confidence? So we got a really resounding yes, and people told us, you know, there's not enough of this in Dallas. So I came back to New York, and Antoine stopped me in the hall, and he's like, I heard we might open in Dallas, and I want to be the leader. And, you know, that was say no more, because Antoine is just an amazing human being and a huge talent and so hardworking. And since he's been here in Dallas, I mean, he has just, I think, brought performance to neighborhoods and to young people, to schools that just weren't experienced this kind of thing before. And he's partnered with a lot of different organizations. He's connected to the corporations there. He knows the different, you know, leaders, whether it be Big Thought or, of course, Michael over at Paul Quinn College. Or he's just like, you go out with Antoine, he knows everybody.
Yes, he does.
And the young people. Yeah, and I think the young people also love him because they see in him that he's a lot like them.
Yes.
You know, he grew up in an underserved neighborhood and a neighborhood that was very poor in New York City and had very limited openings and possibilities. And yes, it was his own drive. Of course, he did what he created in his life. But as he tells you, you know, it was also the people he met and the opportunities he was given that he took advantage of. And so that pathway was like that choice, you know, Antoine tells it better than me, but, you know, I could go and be in a gang, which he was being recruited to, or I could go and do this hip hop talent show with the All Stars Project. And he had a choice. And a lot of young people don't have a choice. And so I think I'm his biggest fan. Well, I may not be his biggest fan because he has a lot of big fans. But
his wife has stepped in front of you, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. She's definitely a huge fan. Dorinda, who is a wonderful leader, education leader here in Dallas herself. And, you know, I just think he's really been inspiring. We hope to partner with a lot more people in Dallas. Antoine could say some of who he's connecting to lately.
Yeah, could you go ahead and tell us, Antoine, because I've been absolutely amazed how hard you've been working and all of the different partnerships that cross-sect the Dallas-Fort Worth community to get the All-Stars Project here started and rolling and ramped up and reaching so many kids.
Thank you. Well, thank you both. I'm sitting here going, okay, what do I do?
Okay, so let me bring you back down to earth again. Okay, Tracy Morgan has stepped in.
Yes, sir. Okay. But, shout out a few organizations that I am a part of. So I chair the South Oak Cliff NAF Academies, IT and Engineering Academies at NAF. So shout out to our teachers there. They work hard every day, Miss Patin, Miss Whipple, to offer students tremendous opportunity and to connect them to the jobs of the future in IT and engineering at South Oak Cliff. I've been a part of Dallas County Promise for the last 4 years. So in Dallas County Promise, it's helping us connect young people to college and with no cost. So they fill out the FAFSA and they fill out all the requirements. When they graduate high school, they can go to a two-year or in some four-year partner colleges with no cost. So they repay the last dollar of their tuition. I just recently joined in the last year Dallas Thrives, which is led by Commit Partnerships and the Dallas Regional Chamber. And our focus in Dallas Thrive is to help young people between the ages of 25 to 40 to obtain a livable wage. A livable wage has been identified as $50,000 and up. And as you can imagine, about only 25% of our young people who are Black and Hispanic are living at a living wage in Dallas. So many of our young people are living in one out of three young people are living under poverty.
Yep.
And so we're saying there's a lot of opportunities, a lot of jobs coming to Dallas, to the region. How do we help create a talent pipeline for our young people to connect to those jobs? And again, the work I do of development is helping young people see that, how to take advantage of opportunity in those spaces. And lastly, I'm on the board of Dallas Truth Racial Healing and Transformation. We work in the racial equity space, helping, you know, organizations and individuals create a racial equity plan for themselves, for their organizations, and for the city.
You know,
that's a lot I'm doing.
Yes, you're doing a lot. And in fact, you guys are doing so much in the next few weeks, next couple of months here. I want to let you go ahead and share with all of our listeners some of the upcoming projects with the All Stars Project. I'm looking right now at this weekend. You've been having this three-day shopping event. It's wrapping up this morning, but you guys have been doing a three-day shopping event. Can you talk about
exactly
that with all the boutique stores?
So one of our wonderful philanthropic partners, she is a member of Brunello Cucinelli.
Mm-hmm.
So international fashion designer, and Brunello wanted to do more give back programs in cities where his stores are at. So he has a store in
Highland Park Village.
Thank you, Highland Park Village.
I'm on it.
It's like that. There you go, Highland Park Village. So yeah, if you go there today, again, just wrapping up today, buy anything, 15% of the proceeds goes to the All Stars. So we would love for you to get involved that way. We have material there as well. I might be there, so you know, I might come up there and say hello to you. So
you never know.
Say hello to me. So that's coming up.
And then this Tuesday, the City Leaders Circle Forum, right?
Thank you. So City Leaders, this is going to be fun. So I get to tell people more about how I'm seeing the city. We're going to talk about mental health and vaccinations in the community. And I invited three All-Stars Project alumni to come and talk about their direct experiences. So two of my young people, actually from my very first class in Dallas,
wow,
they now work. I'm very proud of this. I get a little emotional because they both work in youth programming, and they contributed to that, to the work with the All-Stars. So it's like they follow in my footsteps. It's like I'm a proud dad.
You must be talking about Deanna Perry, Keyshawn Rhodes, and Javier Garcia.
Yeah. And Javier is actually a senior at Sam Houston College, and is going to get an engineering degree. And so he's talking about his role in his family, and you know, the challenges of going to college during a pandemic. So please come listen to our young people, and many more things. I told you about development coaching, so we're still on the drive to sign people up to be development coaches. So if you want to be in the life of a young person here in Dallas, you can still sign up, and I'll tell you how to get involved. You can go to our website at www.allstars.org/get-involved. And lastly, you can also see on the website, in November, we have Standing with All Stars, our national fundraiser.
Right.
And we're honoring a great partner of ours here in Dallas, Stratton Horace and his wife, Debbie Horace. So Stratton was the managing partner of Wilson Elser here in Dallas. And I must say, he and his wife have been so gracious because, you know, everybody looks at that Bank of America building every night, right?
Right, green building.
Part of our skyline. And imagine taking 50 young people to his office on the 50th floor of the Bank of America building. And he always does this thing where we get to his boardroom. And then he goes, I want y'all to look outside the window and look down. And for the first time, some of our young people see the star that's right in the center of Dallas right there. And it's like, wow, this is the building we're in. It's like, yeah, you know, we're inviting you into the culture of this city. So He's been a great, great, great partner and provided hundreds of internships for our young people over the last couple of years. So please, you know, support that event as well. So many ways to get involved.
Let me tell you something. I cannot thank you guys enough for joining us this morning. Gabrielle Curlander and, of course, my buddy Antoine Joyce, getting things done with the All-Stars Project of Dallas and the All-Stars Project nationally. Thanks again for joining us, guys.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, and thank you all for listening to Better Living. I'm Chris Arnold. Be sure to tune in next week as we highlight other organizations and events happening right here in DFW. So long, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.